And I hope it's.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must run. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Walks with me, and not of earth can harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep, but I'll wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not of earth can harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Sheltered safe within the arms of God.
Thank you, Brother Reed. That's Brother Jay Reed, the youngest son of Brother and Mrs. Sam Reed. He serves as youth pastor up at the Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin, Illinois. He and his family are down for Christmas, and it's a joy to hear him sing. It's a blessing. He will also be one of the special speakers in our youth conference coming up this summer. So we're looking forward to that as well. Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Last week, we preached to you about the first coming of Jesus Christ, Christ being born in Bethlehem's manger and living and dying for our sins, being raised again, ascended back to the right hand of the Father. But may I remind you that in the Scripture there are many more verses of prophecy talking about His second coming than there were about His first coming. And so last week we preached about His first coming on this last Sunday of this year. I want to remind you that we're still looking for Jesus Christ to come back again. He's coming again. Title of my message is, If Jesus Came Back Tomorrow. if Jesus came back tomorrow. Having found your place in the Word of God, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and I shall begin to read in verse number 9, Acts chapter 1. And when Jesus had spoken these things is referring to the Great Commission that He challenged His early church, that new church that was standing there on the Mount of Olives. He challenged them to evangelize the world. And then He said, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. So, there as Jesus is ascending is the promise that He's coming back again. And may I say this, this is just a restatement of that promise that Jesus had made on many occasions throughout His earthly ministry. Now then, if you'll turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is speaking on the same subject. And he's been asked by Christians there in Thessalonica about Christians who die. Where are they? What happens to them when they die? What happens to us that are still alive and remain when Jesus comes? So he begins to answer them in chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now he's talking about two different groups of people here. He's talking, first of all, about Christians that have died, those that are asleep. Then he's talking about the unsaved, those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, those Christians that are asleep, those that have died, in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message on this last Sunday morning of 2007. We do not know when You're coming, but we do believe the Bible teaches Your imminent return. We believe it could be today. It could be tomorrow. We do not know, but we are looking, we are longing for that day when Jesus comes again. Help me to be very clear. Help me to make my words so that they're easily understood, so that every one of us will understand the urgency of making sure our life is in the will of God. We are obeying His word. We are living to please Him. And then, Father, there's some people here that are not saved. Lord, in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ, the most important need they have is to be born again, to get saved and know it, to become a child of God, to have their sins forgiven, their name written in the book of life in heaven, to be able to know that their sins are forgiven and heaven is their home. God settled that in their heart today. And then there are Christians here today who have been saved but have never been baptized after they got saved. And Lord, I wouldn't want to meet you as a Christian and I've withheld myself from obeying you concerning believers' baptism. Help them to get that taken care of today, not waiting for another hour, another opportunity, but today, while we have opportunity, today, while there's time, today, in order to get ready and be right when Jesus comes. Some need a church home. Some have gone through this year not having a church home. And Lord, their life is never going to be what it ought to be for God until they're a part of a Bible-believing, New Testament, Bible-believing church. God, would you speak to their hearts this morning? This is the place some need to serve you. And they know it because you've revealed it to them. They've just not obeyed you. Help them to do that. Help us to look into our own life and our own heart. Check our spirit, our attitude, our living, our giving, our witnessing, and see if there be any deficiency there in those areas of our life. Let us get them right. Let us make a commitment even now to be faithful to you in 2008. Now, Lord, I love you, and I ask for your power as I preach. Fill me with thy spirit. Use me as your voice, your servant, and we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do for every soul that is saved and for every decision that is made. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. There have been many great days and many sad days in the history of our world. It was a great day when God created this world. He stepped out on nothing and spoke it into existence. And all things that are here, not because of evolution, but because God created them and God sustains them. And on that day of creation, the last thing he did on that sixth day, he made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a creature God created for him. Everything else on this earth, God created for our benefit, for our use, but God created us for himself. Someone to love him. Someone who would worship him. Someone who would serve him. Oh, it was a great day when God created the world and man. It was a sad day when man, God's choice creation, sinned and plunged the human race into the chaos we're in today. It was a great day when David became king of Israel and continued the kingly lineage through which Jesus would come into the world. It was a great day when Saul of Tarsus got saved and God changed his name to Paul and sent him out as a missionary to evangelize the world. And we're sitting here today in Arlington, Texas, worshiping God as a direct result of Paul's obedience to the call of God. It was a great day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. It was a sad day when a rejecting world and a cursing, hating people crucified him on that old rugged cross. It was a great day when he arose from the grave with salvation for all who would call upon him as Savior. But the day, my friend, that will eclipse all other days in greatness is the day when Jesus Christ, our Savior, comes back to rapture his children out of this old wicked world. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And I want you to know, my friend, he's coming back again. The Bible says so. He's coming back for the saved. The Bible tells us so. And I want you to remember he could come back at any moment. The Bible lets us know that clearly. And I just want to ask you this morning, what would happen to you and your family if Jesus Christ came back today or tomorrow? What would be the results? Well, I want to give you some things I think that we need to consider concerning His soon coming. If He came back tomorrow, many people would be greatly surprised. Many of God's people would be greatly surprised. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." May I submit to you, we've given a lot more thought to Christmas this last week and weeks before than we have to the coming of Christ. We've given a lot more thought to New Year's than we have to the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The Bible says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of God." Remember that day when Noah preached and built an ark, 120 years he preached righteousness, had no converts outside of his family. They called him a fool, they mocked him, but God put him in that ark, closed the door, and the rains came. You know, I'm sure the people said, "It's not going to rain, never has. Never has. What is rain anyway?" Then just right on time, the floods came. The floods came. They weren't expecting it, but it happened. And may I say, many of God's people would be greatly surprised if Jesus came today or tomorrow. Throughout this entire world, only a few Christians are looking for our Lord's return. Yet He talks more about His second coming than He ever did about His first coming. The majority of Christians live their lives and never give a single thought to a day about the They never give a thought in a day about the coming of Jesus Christ. Most of you here today are saved. How many of you have given a single thought about the second coming of Christ this past week? Just one thought. I mean, you dwelled on it for 30 seconds. And yet we say we're saved. The majority of the world is not saved. They don't know Christ as their Savior. And most of the people who are saved are not prepared to meet Him with the life they're currently living. Christians ought to get right with God and live with a longing in their heart for Jesus to come. Even today, even so come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, ought to be our prayer. Are you expecting Him to come today or tomorrow? Secondly, if Jesus came back tomorrow, He'd find a great falling away from the faith. By the way, He may find that you're part of it. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day the coming of the Lord will not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Falling away from the faith. Now, it didn't say that they'd fall away from religion. It said the falling away would be from the faith, the teachings of the doctrines of the Word of God. The world is religious today, and the world's running headlong trying to change the things, the teachings of Scripture to please man. The emphasis today is a people-friendly church. We want to please people, not please God. Falling away. There was a time in America when nearly all men believed in God and the Bible. A Christian who would not attend church on Sunday was looked upon as a reprobate. The unsaved would not even work on Sundays. They knew that it was the Lord's day. All the stores were closed on Sunday. You couldn't buy a car. You couldn't buy things at Walmart, if there was a Walmart back then. I guess it was just in Arkansas. Stores were closed on Sundays. But over the last 50 years, modernism and liberalism have crept into our churches, and now almost everybody will say that they're Christians, but hardly no one will attend church regularly. It's something to have a membership of 5,000 and run 1,400 in Sunday school. Where are they? There's a falling away. A great falling away has happened and is continuing to happen. And some of you are a part of it because you attend church casually. You're a part-time church member. Many here today, for all practical purposes, are out of church regularly. And it doesn't bother some of you. You give God the honor of your presence every now and then when it's convenient or beneficiary for you. Hundreds and thousands used to be faithful in our churches. But the average Christian serves only about 5 years, quits, and never serves again. How about you? If Jesus Christ came back tomorrow, he'd find a great falling away. And the sad fact is, some of you listening to me right now are a part of that falling away crowd. If Jesus came back tomorrow, the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Oh, what a day that's going to be. If Jesus came back tomorrow, every saved person in the grave, wherever it is their body is going to be raised from that grave. You say it's dust now, it's ashes now. God will put it back together. He formed it in the beginning. He'll reform it, and Christians will be raised bodily. And that body will be glorified, changed from this temporal, corrupt flesh to glorified flesh. Flesh like as unto the body of Jesus Christ after he arose from the grave. See, how can that happen? What happens anyway when a person dies? Thing I want you to notice here, in this passage we've read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Jesus tells us, God's Word tells us that when Jesus comes, those that have already died, he will bring with them. You say, how can that happen? How can that be if they're in a grave somewhere? We see that shows you the fallacy of the world's thinking. The Bible says when God created man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is a trichotomy. We're body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit died in Adam when Adam sinned. And every baby born since Adam's children are born with a dead spirit. And they must be born again. The Spirit is that part of us, of God's creation, that can have relationship with God. Our spirit can commune with Him and worship Him and praise Him. Our spirit, the spirit of man that God put in us, reaches upward toward God after it's been born again. When it's dead, it reaches outward to the world. It doesn't reach anywhere because it's dead. The flesh reaches outward to the world. Now, here we have the body. It's lifeless without spirit and soul in it. The soul is that part of us created in the likeness and image of God. It'll never die. It is eternal. It is forever. And man is body, soul, and spirit, or actually soul and spirit housed in a body. Now, when a man dies, his soul and spirit does not die. I'm talking about a Christian. His body dies. It ceases to function. And it's put in a grave. But at the moment of that death, before there is a funeral, before the undertaker picks up the body, the soul and spirit of the Christian departs that body and goes to be with God. That's the reason Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You see, when we got saved, our soul was saved, our spirit was made alive, but the flesh, this body, wasn't saved. That's the reason we have such trouble with sin. This old body is pulled towards sin, and we have to fight it every day to live for God, even if we're the best Christians we can possibly be. We fight every day to live for God. But when Jesus comes back again, the soul, the body is going to get saved. It's going to be raptured. It's going to be resurrected. It's going to be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. It's going to be from mortal to immortal. It's going to be like Jesus in His resurrected body. And then the soul and spirit that He brings with Him will be reunited in this body, and we will forever be with the Lord. That's what we have to look forward to if Jesus comes back tomorrow as Christians. You say, what about those lost at sea? They'll come out of the sea. Those in the ground, they'll come out of ground. So how about those that are cremated? You know, I'm sorry today. Christians are following the pagan practice of cremation. That's pagan in origin. It's not Christian in origin. But thank God our God is greater than our foolishness. Jesus comes back tomorrow. I'm sure I offended the Neptune Society. Well, I hope I did. Jesus came back tomorrow. The dead in Christ, the saved, would be raised first. If Jesus Christ came back tomorrow, all living Christians would be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be transformed, we'll be glorified without dying if we're alive when Jesus comes. 1 minute we're in this old putrid flesh, the next minute glorified, we're like Christ, and then we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and forever we'll be with the Lord. Someone said, well, why do the dead get to be raised first? Somebody with good common sense said, they had 6 foot further to go than we did. At that time, at the coming of Jesus Christ, if He should come back tomorrow, all opportunities of Christian service would be over. You say, well, they're going to still have church. Yeah. Christians won't be there. The Holy Spirit won't be there. No saved preachers will be there. They'll still have church, but they won't be serving Christ. They'll be serving the Antichrist, Satan incorporated in human flesh. The pastors will be taught under the tutelage of the pastor to the Antichrist, the false prophet. All opportunities to serve God would be over. You see, you're not going to be here. There's not going to be any Sunday school classes in heaven. Not going to be any bus routes in heaven. Your opportunity to go soul winning is here. Your opportunity to teach is here. Your opportunity to serve and help is here. After this life is over and Jesus comes back, there'll be no more opportunities to serve Him. No more opportunities for you to get right with God. Hey, God's not going to give a special invitation so you can get right with God an hour after you're in heaven. If you get raptured not right with God, you've got to stand at the judgment seat of Christ not right with God and give an account of your wasted Christian life. You see, when you don't live right for God, you don't lose your sonship, you lose your fellowship with God, and you lose your rewards, and you lose your blessings. The prodigal came home, but he was still a son while he was in the hog pen. No more opportunities to win your family and friends to Christ. It's all no soul winning in heaven. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last, the songwriter said. If Jesus came back tomorrow, your opportunity to be saved would be passed. You say, now that's not what was in that movie Left Behind. You know, this world is beyond ignorant. We're ignorant. Paul said, one of the famous lines he said over and over again, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Ignorant. You see, we don't go to Hollywood to get Bible truth. We don't go to Hollywood to learn doctrine. We don't go to Hollywood to learn about the second coming. Let me read you something. Turn in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's talking about the end times. Talking about the coming of Christ. It's talking about the time after the coming of Christ and Antichrist and the false prophet. Look at verse number 7. We'll begin reading there. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. One of these days the Holy Spirit and the church, God's people, are going to be caught out of this world. And then, after the rapture of the saved and the church, then shall the wicked be revealed, the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Just as God has a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Christ has a church, so does Satan. Satan, Antichrist, false prophet. And they have a counterfeit church. And notice he says, and even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now this church of the Antichrist is going to major on signs and wonders. And they're going to get that power to do that from the devil. That's what it just says. And they'll work with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Their congregation are those that are perishing. And here's why. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. While they had opportunity to be saved, while the church was here and the preacher was preaching and Christians were witnessing, they would not accept the gospel. And Jesus came. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What that simply says, if you had opportunity to be saved before Jesus came, you'll be sent strong delusion and you'll believe the lie and be damned after he comes. There'll be no opportunity for you to get saved after Jesus comes. That time has passed. And lastly, if Jesus came back tomorrow, great tribulation would begin upon this earth. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, we have marked the end of the church age on this earth. The chapter begins with the words, "Come up hither." I believe teaching how that in chapter 2 and 3, the churches, letters to the churches were written. And Jesus said, a voice from heaven says, "Come up hither." And then in chapters 4 and 5, we're given a vision in the book of the Revelation of the throne of God and the saints of God sitting around the throne. And by the way, there he is, that Jesus, the same one that was crucified, the same one that was raised from the dead, the same one that ascended back to the Father. He's now on the throne. He's worthy. And he is as a lamb that had been slain. Then in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, we're told about a time that will begin on the earth after the rapture, when Antichrist, Satan's counterfeit Christ, comes to power and the world will worship him. By the way, they're already falling in line to worship him today. All the saved will be raptured out of the earth. There'll be no Christians left here. During that time, God will deal with Israel and God will deal with the unbeliever. During that tribulation, there'll be great earthquakes. The Bible says 1/3 of the earth will be burned. During that tribulation, hailstones 50 to 60 pounds apiece will fall upon the earth. Hailstones of fire will fall. It's so bad that the Bible says, except those days be shortened, no life shall be saved. Everybody would be exterminated. That's the time when Antichrist is in charge. He is ruling and reigning on this earth. They wanted him. They got him. Famine will be so bad, the Bible tells us that a man will work all day long for enough money to buy enough bread for one person for one meal. It'll be so bad people will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. That's what you've got to look forward to if you leave, if Jesus comes back and you're unsaved. There's no heaven for you, no hope for you. No forgiveness for you. No streets of gold for you. No gates of pearl. No mansions. Just tribulation and then the judgment, great white throne judgment and the lake of fire forever and ever. I say to you on this last Sunday of this year, it's time we start thinking again about His coming. It's time we begin to make decisions that will affect our life and get us ready for His coming. It's time that sinners get saved and backsliders get right. Jesus is coming again. And when He comes, those that are saved are going to be raptured. The rest will be left behind. And the question of this hour that I must ask you, which of those two groups will you be in? Will you be part of the raptured? Or will you be part of the left behind? Will you be the part that goes to be with Christ, heaven, and all of the promises of that glorious place and eternity with Him? Or will you be left behind to face the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan and tribulation and judgment and hell and the lake of fire forever and forever? Only you can decide. Only you can make that decision. You must be born again. Have you? Are you saved today? Are you right today? Why? I know some Christians that are so worldly and carnal minded. They say, oh, I hope Jesus doesn't come back. Because I want to do this and this and this. And that's our problem. You're a part of the falling away problem. When we're right with God, we'll pray like John prayed. Jesus said, surely I come quickly. And John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I don't know when you're coming back. I believe it.